cleansed no longer consider to be unholy. Now, lately, we've been looking at patience as an attribute of love. So far, we've seen that the patience God has with us, the patience we have with God, what we call faith, and the patience we have with each other is based on love. If we don't love, we don't have patience. God is love, love is patient, hence God is patient, and that means we're becoming patient as we are becoming conformed to the image of Christ. Patience is the ability or willingness to bear with a trial, situation, or a shortcoming until it is fully resolved or fulfilled. This morning, I want to take a look at being patient with yourself. Now, as I have stated previously, God is fully responsible for your sanctification, for your perfection. You can no more sanctify yourself than you can redeem or justify yourself. Perfection is the demand of God, and His grace is the means by which His demand is met. So I know what must be done, and I know who must do it. What I have a hard time comprehending is when it will be done. Patience is love expressed over time, and sanctification is a time-consuming process. My greatest frustration and my deepest disappointments are not with God, not with the brethren, but with myself. And I find it hard to be at peace with myself, with who and what I still am. At times, what I am begins to overwhelm what God tells me I am becoming. I find that I am not as patient with myself as I am with others. The words of assurance, comfort, and explanation that I offer to others with absolute certainty when they face their own shortcomings at times seem difficult to apply to myself. I know that others are loved by God and that God's love is patient, that sanctification is taught and learned, not simply imparted. Changing what we desire, what we want, is a matter of free will. We are sanctified because we truly want to be. And it is God's Spirit who brings this about through time, experience, and His Word. I tell others that the same reason that we are patient with God and patient with others is the same reason that we must be patient with ourselves, love. If sanctification is God's to do, then we are not being patient with ourselves, we are being patient with God in His time. Faith is what makes the time between what I am and what I will be bearable. My faith is built on God's love for me, and that is built on my acceptance that I am lovable. That's a tough one. To have the patience with yourself that sanctification requires, we must understand and fully believe that we were designed, created, and destined to be loved by God. Not worthy of it, but created to receive it nonetheless. Love needs to be given. It demands to be shared. And God created you to express His love to. You have the value of being the object of God's affection. You need to grasp this. You are lovable to God, just as you are. You have great value to God, despite your depravities. Love sees your faults, and then love removes them. God came here to save you before you repented, to offer you a way home to Him, because this is what He wants for you. Because He loves you, you are invaluable. There was no price too great for Him to pay to save you from yourself. God died at our own hands to rescue us from what we are and to make us into what we were created to be, the sons of God. God has proven that you have great worth to Him. And He is the only one who matters when it comes to determining your worth, not society, not your friends, not your co-workers, not your spouse, not your parents or your children, not even yourself. You are what God says you are. You are lovable because God loves you. If you are lovable and love is patient, then you are required to be patient with you. Accept what God says about you. Accept about yourself what you readily accept in others. Sanctification takes time, and time belongs to God, not to us. Love yourself because you are lovable to God. Be patient with yourself and be kind to yourself, because this is what love does. Scripture assumes a base love for self, and it does so without condemnation. In Matthew 29, you know, we read it today, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It is assumed that you love yourself, that you have a value of yourself. John 13, 34, Jesus changes that around, because sometimes we do not love ourselves as we should. And he says, the new commandment I give you is that you love one another as I have loved you. Love other people more than you love yourself. Ephesians 5, 28 through 29 says this, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. It's assuming that you love yourself. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Psalms 139, 14, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, me. Wonderful are your works, me, is what he's saying. And my soul knows it very well. What he's saying is, I know my value. I am the artwork of God. Respect and acknowledge what you are to God. Proverbs 19:8 says this, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. And Philippians 2:3 says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Now, this verse means nothing if you have no regard for yourself. Or if you do not consider yourself to be important, how can you consider anyone else to be more important? Loving yourself in this context is not pride. It doesn't have to be taught. We do it naturally. Scripture assumes this. It is not loving the flesh. It is loving what God loves, knowing its value, appreciating its worth to God. It is not a love that replaces God, but embraces God and what he has made. You. True love of self is worship of God. Prideful love of self is worship of you. If you refuse to love, value yourself, you are telling God what he has made to receive love is not good enough to do so, that he has failed when it came to you. Galatians 6:3, when you're trying to figure out the difference between right loving yourself and wrong loving yourself, tells us all we need to know, for if someone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Know what you are. You are the pearl of great price. Your value is beyond measure, but it is not beyond anyone else's value. And this is where we come into trouble. And it is not surely beyond God's value. We fight so hard against our pride that we teach ourselves to deny our own worth. When we do this, we lose patience with ourselves, and we give away the peace that Christ died to give us. Let's turn this verse around and see the truth from the other side. If anyone thinks he is nothing when God says he is something, he deceives himself. It's the same thing. Your enemy wants you anxious over your sanctification. The one who whispers to you that it is not sin to get you to do it, then afterwards shouts that you're not lovable because you have sinned. Your sin proves that you're not being sanctified. You don't deserve the peace of patient love. That's what your enemy wants you to believe. But brothers and sisters, peace with yourself is proof of patience with yourself. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. In Philippians 4, 6, 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace that Jesus left, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're told not to be anxious regarding anything, not to allow our hearts to be troubled, and not to be afraid. I wish I did all of those things. Give all things to God. Pray and be thankful for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do. Trust God to do what he said he will do, and then the peace of God, the peace that Jesus left for us, will guard your heart and will guard your mind, especially about yourself. Peace that defies conditions, peace that overwhelms what you see, even if what you see is yourself. This isn't being at peace with sin. This is being at peace with God's plan for your sin and his timing of that plan. If God is willing to invest time into your sanctification, then you must be willing to accept the time. You must be patient with you as much as God is. You are what God says you are, not what Satan says you are, not what people say you are. Your perfection is a certainty. It is your destiny. However, temporal failure is part of this eternal process. We all learn the hard way, and at times it can seem so hard that we start to believe that we're learning nothing at all. In John 16, Jesus tells the disciples about the trials and tribulations that they're about to face. And then he tells them this. He told them about it so that they would have peace when they actually come. So when they show up, you'll be at peace with it. So that they will know that these things are part of his will, part of his plan for them. And that all they will need to have peace is to know that. Through Scripture, we are told again and again that we grow in our faith through trials and through temptations, that the testing of our faith is from God, and this testing produces endurance and patience. He tells us this so that we will have peace when these tests come, no matter what the outcome, because the tests themselves, the victories and the failures, sanctify us. The tests are what matters. They change what we want. Have the patience with yourself that God has with you, and you will have peace. Look forward to what will surely be. Time exists so that you can learn and become conformed to the image of Christ. Once that happens, time is no longer necessary. This brings us back to our opening verse, Acts 10:15. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Know that about yourself. You do not have the right to consider yourself unholy if he has cleansed you. You have no authority to call yourself anything different than what God has called you. He has cleansed you. You are holy, a royal priesthood, and sons of the living God. God sanctifies the saved. He doesn't save the sanctified. You need to know that. He knew you would fail. Repeatedly, he was aware of the time it would take to perfect you, and he willingly invested it in you. Accept the time he has given you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the peace that he left for you while this occurs. Accept that you are lovable because you are formed from the dirt to be loved by God. Don't be patient with sin. Be patient with God's plan for you. Don't be at peace with sin. Be at peace with your conclusion, perfection. Count it all joy. Brothers and sisters, time is not our enemy. For now, it proves our failings, but it is destined to prove our perfection. Time will prove it. Do not dread the ticks of the clock. Hear them as the sweet melody of your sanctification. Be patient with yourselves, brothers and sisters, and in doing so, be patient with God who is sanctifying you. Changing what you want from your will to God's takes a lifetime. Know this and be at peace with it. Philippians 3:12-15. Paul writes to the church, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect." What he's saying is, I am not yet perfect. "But I hold on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ, so that I can get what Christ got me to get. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God, perfection in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect," this is beautiful, We go from future tense to present tense. As many as are perfect have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Think about what he's saying. I have not become perfect, but we are, in essence, perfect. It is our destiny. I'm not yet what I am. And that's our frustration. That's what we feel when we sin. It's not only a mental conundrum, it's an emotional one as well. When we are destined for perfection, become perfect. When we who are being sanctified become sanctified, our current state is one of being conformed to what we are and losing conformity to what we were. Hebrews 10:10 says this, by his will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once and for all. What he's saying is that when it was offered, sanctification was a certainty. It is your destiny. It is what you are. You're just not it yet. New International Version says it this way, and I like it. For by one sacrifice, he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He made perfect forever those who are being made holy. This is confusing and it's frustrating while you're living it. I am not yet what I am. The exasperations of a teenager, as Dave Bowie put it, I am a boy and I'm a man. I cannot yet do what I am meant to do, but I desire so deeply to do it. And when I can't, it frustrates me. A process that can feel like defeat if we don't understand it. It is, brothers and sisters, growing pains. This strange mix of future tense and present tense that we exist in confuses us because we view time differently than God does. God knows what certainty is. He knows that I will be perfected. He considers me that already. Psalms 138:8, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. He will. And it will be him who does it. Your loving kindness, there's that word again. What a beautiful blend, love and kindness. O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hand. Because of your love, you will do this for me who you made. God will do what is his to do. And your sanctification is his to do. And he will do it because he loves you. What is yours to do is be patient with what is his to do. Have faith in him because you know he loves you. You are not the work of your will. You are the work of his will. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Believe what he has said, not what you see. Allow confidence to replace doubt because confidence is the proof of patience with God's time and with your own perfection. And I leave you with Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Be as confident about your perfection as Paul was, and live in the peace that he left for you. Amen.